Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rose intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes. We'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You can't get to the phone. You can also interact with us on Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat. We'll recap yesterday's game as the Eagles beat the Giants 35-30. So the Giants finished up the 2015 season with a 6-10 record. The players are right now talking in the locker room. Anita and I were both in the locker room, so we'll discuss what some of the players had to say. Tom Coughlin did address the team already and gave them messages as they break for the offseason. Nothing definitive in terms of any decisions with respect to the coaching staff or anything moving forward. Anything you're hearing is just pure speculation. The Giants have not announced any press conference or anything to that sort. But we'll certainly recap all that transpired over the course of the season. And Anita, first let's start. Obviously, some of the players were talking in the locker room, and I heard from Rashad Jennings and Cullen Jenkins, and they mentioned, you know, Tom addressed the team and treated it like it was a typical off-season meeting as he gets his team ready to look at what they have to deal with in the next coming months, bid them well, said that he was proud of the team, how they fought hard at least throughout the course of the year, but no indication whatsoever from Tom Coughlin to the players as to what's going to happen with respect to his future.
No, absolutely not. And I know there's a lot of speculation out there. I mean, Mike Garofolo, Dan Graziano, Ralph Facchiano, you know, I'm sure a number of Giants fans follow. But to be honest with you, we're here at the facility, and no one really knows what's going to happen. Nobody really knows what's going to transpire. So, I don't want to sit here for the next hour and talk about something that, unfortunately, you know, or fortunately at this point in time, because I don't hide this at all. I'm a huge Tom Coughlin fan, and I do not want to see this man go. And I feel very strongly about that. So, but, you know, only time will tell. And I'm sure hopefully in the next 24 to 48 hours, we'll have an idea of which direction this organization is headed.
Well, and as Tom mentioned in his post-game presser, he said at the appropriate time it will be addressed. But after the game, he really focused on what happened over the course of the season as well as the X's and O's. And if you look at yesterday's game, it really was a microcosm, Anita, of all of the issues that really plagued this team throughout the course of the year, whether it be red zone struggles, not being able to punch it into the end zone. The Giants were 2-for-5 yesterday. Defensive stops, the inability to make those key stops so you get your offense back on the field, and, you know, the offense not being able to pick up the necessary downs to try to get that go-ahead score. And it was things that we talked about all throughout the year.
Yeah, but one thing that was pretty surprising for me in yesterday's game is that for whatever reason, just could not get Odell going. You know what I mean? I mean, and this is somebody who played Odell Beckham Jr. in a number of my DraftKings lineups. So I was paying a lot of attention to what was going on with him. And that wasn't a typical Odell Beckham Jr. game that we got yesterday. And I thought that he really would have a phenomenal game because this is an Eagles defense that I want to say that the past few weeks have been up almost 400 yards a game to opposing offenses. It's not like, you know, their secondary is one of the best in the NFL. And I really thought, of course, as we know, Odell Beckham Jr. coming off of that one game suspension was really going to make a statement in this game. And he did not. And yet without that, you know, the Giants still kind of, you know, stayed in the game. They only lost by 5. They were still in it at the end. It's just I wonder if we would have had a typical Odell Beckham Jr. day, would the Giants have won this game?
Well, they bracketed him a lot throughout the course of the game, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what they did to Odell Beckham in the second half of the first matchup in Week 6. He was very into the game early. He put up decent numbers back in Week 6 and then quieted down in the second half because Philadelphia started to push attention to him. But I think one of the things we did see, even though his numbers weren't through the roof yesterday, is how he can open the field for other players. For example, on the touchdown that Reuben Randall got, Beckham was also wide open down the right sideline. Manning had an opportunity to choose whoever he wanted to go to. He hit Randall. Randall got that big touchdown. We saw Shane Vereen heavily involved in the offense yesterday. And Will Tye made a number of big catches. And let's not forget the fact that they had a season-high 208 rushing yards. So the running game really started to open up in the later stages of the season. And, you know, Rashad Jennings talked about this in the locker room today. He said, I think you got to give credit to the offensive line. You know, the offensive line, there were some movable pieces late in the season. Guys just started to come together, and he himself getting into rhythm because he emerged as the workhorse. So I think both of those factors combined is the reason why the running game got going. But the one thing you did notice, if you look at the Vikings game, Anita, versus what transpired in the Philadelphia game, regardless of what Odell Beckham puts up from a statistical standpoint, he does change the dynamics of how a defense attacks the Giants. And that's why I think you saw a little bit more of the spreading of the wealth mentality yesterday as opposed to what had happened in that Minnesota game when they weren't able to get much offensive continuity.
No, absolutely. And this is something that obviously Odell Beckham Jr. brings to the equation. But on top of that, he's so good that even when he's bracketed, he's got this uncanny knack of reeling in the ball and making the catches even when somebody is just draped all over him. So, you know, you know exactly what you get with Odell Beckham Jr. He's just, I think he's one of the best football players in the NFL.
And Beckham surpassed Randy Moss yesterday, so most receiving yards by any player in NFL history in his first two seasons. Josh Brown set a career high in terms of points. Rashad Jennings, a career high in rushing attempts and rushing yards. Also, he played in 16 games for the first time this season. And Eli Manning, 35 touchdowns, one shy of Y.A. Tittle's mark, which he set in 1963. So you look at the numbers across the board. From an offensive standpoint, Anita, when you reflect back, I mean, this is an offense that's going to finish sixth in the NFL. I mean, they certainly were able to put up their fair share of points. There were issues in terms of key games, not maybe putting up enough, but the offensive numbers really jump off the page this season in year two under Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, absolutely. But keep in mind, first of all, in regard to Odell Beckham Jr., keep in mind, when you look at this season, there's one game he didn't play. So I think you need it's unbelievable the numbers that he put up without being suspended that one game. I wonder what records he would have broken if he would have been active and been able to play in that Minnesota Vikings game.
Well, and he missed four last season, too. So the fact that he got that record when he missed actually technically five games over the course of his first two seasons.
And you know, another thing that, you know, you got to keep in mind is the way that, unfortunately, because the defense wasn't one of the best defenses in the NFL and opponents were able to put up a number of points on them, you know, you had an Eli Manning offense that really had to chuck the ball a lot. You know, in fantasy football, we call it garbage time. You know, when you know you've got a quarterback who has to make up, you know, the team's down by 17, the team's down by 21. You know, Eli Manning's going to go to work. And, of course, who's he going to get the ball to? Odell Beckham Jr. Defenses then pretty much play this kind of off the line, giving this 5 yards. So, you know, it's funny. You've got to look at how each game and each scenario kind of panned out. And because the Giants had to come from behind often, I think that kind of played into why you're seeing such phenomenal numbers from this offense, especially in the third and fourth quarter.
Well, and I think also you have to take into consideration the running game wasn't as balanced in terms of helping out the offense early in the season. So that was even more of a reason why Eli was forced to throw a little bit more often than he had anticipated.
Actually, I had an opportunity, as Lance just said, we were in the locker room, exit interviews for a number of the guys, and I had a chance to speak to Rashad Jennings, and I said, dude, the past three games, man, it's like, hello, you finally came up. Like, what was the difference? What was the difference? He said two things. He said he felt the offensive line did a better job, and number two, he and we've been talking. I know you and I don't host a lot of the shows together. I'm typically with David Deal, but one thing that we've been talking about is, you know, that question mark. Yeah, there's two headed monsters in a running back by committee backfield in the NFL. There's three headed. The Giants had four at one point. With Darko in there. So, you know, how does a running back get into a vibe, get into an ebb and flow? And that's one thing. It's another thing that we've seen the past few games is that, and I spoke to Jeff Schwartz as well. He said the same thing, and that is, you know, having that workhorse, sometimes this is the result. So a few things as to why I think we saw Rashad Jennings in this rushing attack really make some noise the last few games is that he finally got the ball a lot, and also the offensive line did a much better job.
170 rushing yards for him. I think a third factor would be also sticking to the run in the last few games, meaning, you know, dictating the tone of the game on the ground as opposed to perhaps abandoning it when you're down early and you're saying, all right, now we're just going to throw to come back. The mentality was we're going to be a balanced offense here down the stretch, and if you see the amount of rushes versus the number of pass attempts, I think those numbers certainly played out in favor of that balance, which is what the Giants were going after all season long. We want to remind fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. All right, we'll open up the phone lines here on Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Dre is in Atlanta. He gets us going on the program. Dre, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? Hey, Anita, how's it going?
All right.
Doing well, Dre. What do you got for us?
Well, thinking back from the Giants' defenses in the past, I look at one of the biggest things with Spagnuolo's defense is that, you know, Tuck said it, OC said it, even Strahan. You have to trust the players on the team. And I just think with all the injuries and inconsistencies, they didn't trust who they had on the field with them. And the only thing they trusted that they would be out of position. And everybody started doing too much, which hence, you know, caused us not to be able to get off the field on third down, not be able to stop the final drive, you know. It's just things like that. You know, and we talk about, you know, we need a new voice and Coughlin this and Coughlin that. But, you know, everything comes down to personnel. You know, Mark Ross, you know, and Reese chose a lot of these players. You know, in between from 2008 to now, how many of the players are really still on the team from those draft classes? Two, three? You know, I just think that we dealt Coughlin, you know, a raw deal. We gave him a loaded hand and said, hey, you know, try to win the game with, you know, with no trump cards. But, you know, yeah, you have Odell, but he can't do it by himself. You know, Eli can't do it by himself. You know, it's just I wouldn't say it's necessarily a sad day in Giant Kingdom. It's just, you know, a lot of things have come to perspective and come to root. You know, we have some talented players. We have talented players that don't have the effort to, you know, to really play above the X's and O's. And then we have those that, you know, never get the chance. You know, we go with the four-headed monster, and if we had what I said weeks ago, months ago, if we just trust in the running game and just pound it and let these running backs get into a rhythm, then Andre Williams wouldn't look so inept. You know, we will see exactly what we paid for when we brought Rashard Jennings over here. You know.
But, well, and Jennings stayed healthy, Dre, too. I mean, I think that was a big factor this season. And as I pointed out at the beginning of the show, Rashard Jennings prior to this season had never played in all 16 games. So, you know, the fact that he was in the lineup. Remember, last year he started off very good in 2014. Had that big game against the Houston Texans. And then all of a sudden he got that knee injury and Andre Williams was thrown into a starting role as a rookie. This year, you know, Jennings, they knew he was going to be a part of the game plan every week. Regardless how many carries he had, at least he was able to practice every week and get into the flow. So, you know, that I think was obviously a big difference maker for him individually as well as the team.
Right, but I thought, you know, going into the season, we were going to go with the three-headed monster where, you know, as Anita says, you know, Rashard Jennings was going to be our bell cow and, you know, to give him a breather to keep him healthy. Well, throw Andre Williams in there on some short yardage so, you know, since he's a bigger back, you know, muscular-wise, he could take the bruising and wear down the defense. You know, and it'll open up some things for us. Instead, we went backwards when we allowed the pass to open up the run, and you know, we gotta do better. And I think we will do better next year. We have a good nucleus, but I still think there's a lot of players on this team that need to, you know, be given their pink slips and find another team to play for where they can do mediocre football and get some, you know, some dogs that we used to have on the defensive side. And, you know, we only need a couple pieces away on offense. We do need some receivers, and we need, you know, give us a guard or a right tackle. And we'll be all right on offense. But defense, we need some dogs on defense, man. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Hi, Dre. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
You know, just to say this in regard to Giants fans, you know, they should be very optimistic in regard to, you know, what's ahead for this organization. First and foremost, you know, Eli Manning, that deal gets done. You know that he's going to be your starting quarterback. Who knows, the next 3 to 5 years. You know, that's great. Odell Beckham Jr., obviously, one of the best players in the NFL. And the Giants are going to have a ton of money under the cap. I mean, they're going to be big-time players in free agency. And you can't say that about a lot of teams in around the NFL. So, and they get the number right now, right, 10th? They're 10th. Number
That's
10
what
draft,
it's estimated to be.
Right? Mm-hmm. Estimated 10th draft pick heading into 2016. So, you know, I think the future is really bright for this team and this organization.
Well, and that's why they're going to have some flexibility this offseason as they continue to evaluate the roster. I mean, as Dre, the last phone caller, brought up, you know, clearly they're going to look to beef up the defense. I mean, the defense obviously statistically showed that, you know, it had some issues and closing out games was a problem. And that was a big reason why, and this goes back to some of the other points that, you know, we've discussed throughout the course of the season. The philosophy during this era times, especially when you go back at some of these games, why there was more aggressive approach on offense about wanting the touchdown as opposed to settling for the field goal was because of the track record that, you know, more often than not, when the defense was on the field, they weren't able to get that stop to close out a game. So therefore, you wanted to pad the lead as much as possible. And you go back to, you know, some of the games throughout the course of the season that were nail biters. Play here or play there. That's why early in the game, the philosophy was, we got to get the 7 points, because if we settle for the field goal, there's no guarantee that we're going to be on top when it's all said and done. Let's head back to the phone lines here. Oren is in Virginia. Oren, what's happening?
Hello, Lance and Anita. I just wanted to talk about, you know, it was a very disappointing season, and that I'm really looking forward to next season. I don't think Tom Coughlin should get fired, because I really don't want to see Eli Manning starting over in a new offense, or the defense changing again. I feel like we should keep it as it is, because I feel like Spags did the best that he could. What he had, it was leading the league of injuries, I think. And I feel, and then plus, I think they should get rid of Jerry Reese. I feel like we need to, you know, get rid of a general manager. I think they need to clean up the front office and stuff. And I think, since you said we got a lot of cap money, I think we need to get another third round. I think we need to re-sign Jason Pierre-Paul and re-sign Robert Ayers and get another three pass rusher like when we had Tuck, Osimior, and Jason Pierre-Paul. We need three pass rushers, and we have to get a free safety.
You know, Lance, and thank you for your phone call. You know, the JPP situation is going to be very intriguing, you know, because obviously because of the hand issue – you know, was not the typical JPP that we had had expected coming into the season. Now he's going to have off-season hand surgery that hopefully he can get feeling back in that middle finger.
A little bit more mobility.
And not have to play with a club next season. So now once that happens, then how much of a better player will he be heading into 2016? And, you know, what will he be offered? And then go one step further in regard to, you know, what other offers may come in from other teams. So the way that this JPP situation is going to play out is going to be very intriguing.
Well, I'm sure, though, the Giants, if they look at the fact that, number one, he played 8 games, which, you know, nobody necessarily anticipated, given there were so many question marks after the accident. Number two, I mean, he actually turned out to be quite an opportunistic player, considering the circumstances. I mean, most guys with a club on their hand, how many recover 2 fumbles, get an interception, a sack, and, you know, assist
batted
on a deflection,
batted ball. Right.
So, I mean, he was very active, all things considered. I think the Giants are going to have to evaluate that. Okay, this is what he did with the club on his hand. Now, as you mentioned, if we could get him into a glove next season, can we expect that the tackling can improve? And JPP is the first one to say it was a challenge bringing guys down with that club on their hand. Spags even referred to this. So that's one of the things you got to anticipate. And, you know, can he get back little by little that dominant pass rushing prowess that has been showcased over the course of the season? Oren, the last caller, also brought up Robert Ayers. Now, Robert Ayers is coming off a career year, 9.5 sacks that he wound up with. Very active in the later stages of the season. He's a free agent. So it's a similar circumstance, Anita, as you were alluding to. You like the production you got out of him, but what's the market going to be like for a Robert Ayers, given the fact that 9.5 sacks is going to jump out at most teams, and they may have an interest in obviously bringing him in or at least having conversations with him.
Right.
So you got to wonder what's the price tag under those circumstances. The good news is, obviously,
yeah,
the Giants are certainly going to have some flexibility.
I guess my point is you kind of have an idea what the price tag is on a guy that you look at film and how many one-on-ones did he have, how many double teams did he have to go up against, and he still walked away with 9.5 sacks. You kind of have an idea what that price tag is. I don't think teams out there really know what the price tag is for JPP, because there's so many question marks in regards to his health and the surgery and how that hand is going to be utilized next season. And there's so many question marks that I think it's going to be a very difficult thing, not only for the Giants, but I think for other teams and free agency to really wrap their head around.
Well, and it also depends on the mindset of JPP. I know speaking to the media, he indicated clearly he'd like to stay with the organization. And sometimes when a player wants to stay, you know, the other factors tend to work itself out, especially if the player has a desire to stay. So I think that's going to be obviously a big part of the conversation moving forward. All right, let's head back to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. Lance Meadow, Anita Marks with you here on Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. So glad you could join us. We're recapping the season, looking ahead. No announcement in terms of the front office, coaching staff, in terms of any changes. Nothing official, at least from the Giants' perspective, despite all the media speculation. Players are speaking to the media right now. We were in the locker room earlier. They're having their exit interviews. They did meet with Tom Coughlin already and said that Tom treated it like any other exit day, like he's done in previous seasons, looking ahead, telling guys to work at each of their issues and strengths throughout the course of the offseason and get ready to come back to work. So no indication from Tom to the players that any change is forthcoming. Jason is in New Jersey. We welcome him aboard. Jason, what's happening?
Hey, yeah, I just want to talk about the state of the offensive line moving forward.
Sure. What do you got?
Yeah, I think that John Jerry should be the starting right guard moving forward because, as you clearly saw yesterday, he was the best offensive lineman on the field. This whole year, he gave up zero sacks. He made eight starts, allowed zero sacks. Dating back to the New England game, he's given up zero sacks, zero hits, and 10 hurries in seven games. In McAdoo's scheme, it puts most of the pressure on the right guard, specifically because 80% of the time, the line will slide left. You have the left guard and the center will be double-teaming a defensive tackle. The left tackle will have inside help, and the right tackle will get chipped. So his offense will leave the right guard on an island. And clearly, John Jerry completely outplayed Jeff Schwartz. Okay, Jeff Schwartz gave up, six sacks before he went out. John Jerry, zero. You can see that. You can see when he's in there, he gives Eli a clean pocket basically 95% of the time. And the running game as well. You saw a lot yesterday. They rushed for over 200 yards against Carolina. They rushed for over 150 yards against Miami. What was it, like 120 something, whatever.
Well, they were in the 90s against Miami, but yeah.
Yeah, well, my point is John Jerry has clearly established himself as a starting right guard moving forward. I think we should cut Jeff Schwartz, save money, and just leave John Jerry as a starter, have Bobby Hart as a backup right guard in, go after a right tackle or a left tackle. But just want to give a shout-out to John Jerry. Outstanding pass protection. Zero sacks on the year. Like I said, the most one-on-one matchups, little help from the center, just tremendous. Gave Eli a lot of time, so that's all I wanted to say.
Well, yeah, appreciate the phone call, Jason. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Like I said a little bit earlier, I had a chance to speak with Jeff Schwartz just a few moments ago, and I said to him, I said, listen, and you and I did host a lot of shows in the off season, and one thing we were most concerned about, right, coming in was the offensive line. And I think they definitely outperformed my expectation, more so in regard to keeping Eli Manning healthy and upright. Not that he had a ton of time back there.
Well, he got rid of the football very quickly this season, so I think that assisted. I'm looking at the numbers, 27 sacks that the Giants offensive line gave up. Now, in terms of 2014, they surrendered 30 sacks. So three less than what happened in 2014, and the offensive numbers certainly improved overall in terms of Eli Manning's passing and the running game, too, overall. So, you know, I mean, I think it does say a lot in terms of the strides that the offensive line made. Last caller was talking about John Jerry, and given some of the injuries, you need that reliable veteran. Now, John Jerry was not penciled in as a starter to begin the season.
No.
But he was penciled in as a guy that was going to be the first man up on the depth chart. You want a veteran like that to step in the event there's an injury, and then the level of productivity remain where it was with the previous regime, if not improve. And, you know, guys like Jerry, Marshall Newhouse, they were thrown into those positions because of injuries to Will Beattie and Jeff Schwartz. And, I mean, Jerry has solidified his role because ever since Schwartz went out, you haven't seen a change in that area. So, I think that says a lot, at least about the veteran seeing his opportunity and at least stabilizing the O-line.
You know, and again, I know the Giant fans want to pinpoint, well, this is why the Giants didn't make it to the postseason this year. But keep in mind, I think it's a little bit of everything that really does come into play. But prior to Will Beattie getting injured, Lance, I mean, this offensive line was supposed to be Will Beattie, Justin Pugh,
Weston Richburg,
Jeff Schwartz, and Flowers. So you got to assume, I know what happens when we all assume, but you have to assume that if that was the healthy starting five moving forward, that the Giants would have had, well, maybe a better rushing game and better rushing stats. And if that's the case, then maybe they have bigger time of possession and they're able to hold on to the ball more. And other offenses aren't able to get on. I mean, I know we could sit here and we could play that what if game. But I think you do have to take that into account.
Well, I think based on your point, Anita, I would probably say if that group stayed healthy and there wasn't the Beedy injury, you can make the argument maybe this group clicks a little bit earlier in the season. And then what we saw with respect to the rushing attack in like the last 4 or 5 weeks, maybe you get that by week 7 or week 8 instead of week 11 or week 12 because of the continuity that you worked on dating all the way back to the offseason.
Right.
Progressively, the running backs get comfortable with the offensive line and so forth. I mean, to say that perhaps the numbers would skyrocket here or there, I mean, that's a game of speculation. Who knows? But I do think perhaps the group would have clicked little bit sooner if you would have said, hey, we've been working as a unit all the way back to spring, and now we're carrying that momentum into the regular season. You didn't get that because of the game of musical chairs that had emerged out of nowhere because of some injuries. Derek Flowers, remember, he missed a game early in the season against the Washington Redskins. You had Jeff Schwartz go down. So, you know, there was some more movement than at least that they had anticipated heading into the season. Let's hear from Steve on Staten Island. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, hello, Lance. Hello, Anita. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Steve. What do you have for us, Steve?
All right. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I kind of have to go a little bit on what Anita just said. Yeah, it's a combination of a lot of little things with this team as to why they came up so short. You know, one thing this team has shown me in the last couple of years, I mean, it's literally Murphy's Law with this team. I mean, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And you know what? It's not fair to blame Coughlin for everything. It really isn't. I'll tell you what, I'm definitely not a fan of this running back by committee. I mean, this isn't baseball. This isn't bullpen by committee. Okay, and I'm looking at Jennings run all over the place, and I think I could speak for, like, every Giant fan. You scratch your head and said, are you kidding me? Now, here, today? And, you know, I think this running back by committee, it's garbage. It's not going to work. I think they need to definitely improve that in the offseason. And, of course, the defense. I like Collins. I think that kid showed me something. But, I mean, you know, you got to get Cromartie help. And you know what? They have some nice free agents that are out there at the end of this year. And I'm telling you, I'm hoping that the Giant organization can sign them. Because, you know, it just kills me to watch those five games that we could have had in our pocket, knowing that we would have been NFC East Division winners and we'd be in the playoffs. And, all right, it is what it is. Coulda, woulda, shoulda doesn't work in football. But, you know, with that being said, I don't think Coughlin should get the rap for everything that went on around here. It isn't fair to him. This guy had to make do with the offense, with whatever team he was coaching. That's the bottom line here. And he got a lot of players, like one of your previous callers said, by far deserve pink slips at the end of the year. So, I mean, you know, I look at it as, you know, as the fan in me, you know what? But look, next year, but as the realist now, when I got to take that fan hat off, you're right. There's a lot of questions going into next season. And as far as JPP, if I could real quick,
yeah.
Here's how I play the JPP thing, Lance. I take it 1 year at a time. I'm sorry. I just take it, 1 year at a time. That's how I play it with him. I sign him to a 1 year contract next year, and let's see what the guy's got left in his tank, and let's see what he brings to the table. And as far as that, again, you guys, thank you for taking my call. You guys are great, and as long as you're on, to me, Giants football never ends.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. Thanks so much for weighing in. I mean, that depends on JPP's mindset, whether or not he'd want to agree to a one-year deal, too.
But also, it depends on what other offers are coming his way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there might be another team out there that's willing to take a bigger risk.
Give
and
him
a bigger
multi-year deal.
Exactly.
Yeah. So therefore, you know, he's not going to maybe perhaps settle for a one-year deal if he has, you know, some extra security elsewhere given the circumstances of his hand and so forth. I understand where Steve's coming from. You know, in an ideal world, you'd like to approach most players who you have maybe concerns with long-term. You just lock them up for the short-term and then you let things play out. But you got competition from the 31 other teams in the National Football League. Sometimes you got to give a little bit more on the contract in order to retain that player. AJ is in South Carolina. AJ, what's happening?
Thanks for taking my call. The Giants' defense has to get better. Yesterday, Philadelphia converted a lot of third downs.
Yeah, third down was an issue yesterday, AJ. I was looking at the numbers. The Eagles were 10 of 13 on third down yesterday. And if you go back to this season, the Giants had struggles stopping teams on third down. And, A.J., they themselves had struggles on third down in terms of where they wound up ranking on the season. You're talking about mid-30 percentage, which puts them in the 18 to 20 ballpark in terms of the ranking. So it was a problem on offense, and it was certainly a problem on defense. If your defense can't get off the field on third down, clearly you're going to give up lengthy drives and you're going to give up points, and that's exactly what Philadelphia did. A lot of lengthy drives yesterday, 80-yard drives, 91-yard drives, where the Eagles were going sometimes 3 for 3 on third down. So that certainly jumped out from yesterday's game.
I like what I saw for Jasper Brinkley. He tossed DeMarco Murray, the fumble curse, Jasper Brinkley.
Yeah, AJ, that's another great point. I appreciate the phone call. Brinkley has turned into an opportunistic player in the limited amount of time that he's been out there. I mean, he obviously needed to fill in because Beeson went down, a middle linebacker. 4 forced fumbles for Jasper Brinkley this season. He certainly took advantage of his reps. He had another one, as AJ just alluded to, on DeMarco Murray. Remember, he had some of those big plays in the Tampa Bay game on Doug Martin, which turned the field position around. Very opportunistic. So, you know, that was a guy that, you know, they wound up having to rely on. And this was a player that, at the beginning of the season, who knew if he was going to be on the roster, considering, you know, he had been let go by the Minnesota Vikings. He was also with the Cowboys. But, you know, that was a player that at least solidified the middle, considering when you look at the linebacking core this season, Anita, you know, the top three linebackers, all three starters wind up finishing the season on IR. And how many times did we look at a game where you went into a game where you had your three starters? It was really a game of musical chairs at that position, more so than probably any other position on the team this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you and I hosted a lot of shows heading into the season. I was really excited for the season for Devon Kennard, especially in Spags' defense. I thought the way that Spags would be able to utilize him, he'd be able to produce big things. As you know, I was really big on JT Thomas coming over from Jacksonville. I thought he was going to be a great addition. And you know how I feel about John Beeson. I felt John Beeson was just going to be that extension of Spags on that field, but unfortunately he wasn't able to stay healthy. So now Devon Kennard was another guy that I just had the opportunity to speak to. His main concern and his main goal this offseason is getting healthy and coming back and being healthy for next year. Not sure what happens with John Beeson. I highly doubt. I have a feeling my gut's telling me that he'll probably retire. I don't think he'll play for any other team. If he plays for a team, it'll be the Giants, but I think he's ready to hang him up. I don't know, does that mean he becomes a coach? I don't know. I think he'd be a phenomenal coach. I don't know if he's ready for that right now. And then obviously, so you know you got your bookends with JT Thomas and Devon Kennard. It'll be interesting to see, as I said a little bit a while ago, this Giants team has a lot of money in free agency. They're going to be big-time players this offseason. So is that where they spend their free agent dollars? Do they go after a free agent linebacker, or do they address it in the draft and go out and draft a really good possible middle linebacker that's going to come in and play that Mike backer for them for the next few years?
Well, you certainly need to take into consideration some of the health issues because, you know, I'm bringing up Kennard's numbers. 9 games he was limited to this season and then 12 last year, and he's only been in the league for 2 years. And, you know, you look at him as one of the most versatile linebackers, at least on the roster right now. But, you know, the old story is guys are only effective when they're on the field. And that's one player that you'd like to see get past that injury bug because he's had to battle some issues over the course of the first 2 seasons. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. We've got a lot of people that want to weigh in. Pat is in Florida. Pat, what do you got for us?
Hey, Anita, John, happy New Year. Glad
it's Anita and Lance, but it's all right. How's everything?
Oh, well, actually, Lance, you look like John. How's that?
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll let you go. Of course, I think I got a little bit more hair than John the last time I checked.
You're right, Dad. You're right.
Right.
Hey, real quick, I'm going to go off in a different direction. First of all, I agree with Anita. I hope Tom stays, but I don't have a good feeling about it. My concern is the training staff and how these injuries just continue to pile up on us year after year. And, you know, I've coached football on the high school level, and the main thing, I know it's not the NFL, we all know that, but the main thing that you really want to do is have your players conditioned so they can go through this 16-game schedule without the continually repetitive injuries. I mean, we take one step forward, and it's two step backwards with two more guys off the field after we get one more guy on the field. I don't know if, I'm hoping that the Giants office looks at that. I know Tom's talked about science, and he's made changes, and I don't know if they're working. I just don't know if they're effective enough right now where we could step away and say we don't have to worry about our training staff. I want to get your feelings, both of your feelings on that. No, I'll listen and see what you have to say.
All right, Pat, appreciate the phone call. One thing I will say with respect to that, you know, over the last few years, when you could judge whether or not you think it's worked effectively or not. I mean, I know there's 21 guys on IR this season, and the numbers are the numbers. You can't deny that, but they have made adjustments in the process. They've made adjustments in the system. For example, every Friday this season, which had never been done under Tom Coughlin, it was sort of a day off, a day to relax, regroup, and then go hard Saturday with practice before a Sunday game. Usually Friday was a typical day where you practice hard, and then Saturday's more of a walkthrough type of setting in preparation for a Sunday game. They reversed that. Recovery day on Friday, where, you know, they went through some different technologies and so forth to try to get these players up and running for each and every game and make sure that, you know, they survive for the grind of the season. So that was something new. If you go back to training camp, you know, measuring players' stamina and how much energy they utilized, I mean, all of these things were implemented progressively over the last few years. So they've been studying these things. Tom Coughlin even addressed it in one of his final press conferences leading up to the final game of the season where, you know, he said, I mean, at this point, we're going back and brainstorming each and every day. We're putting the stuff on the wall to determine what else we could tweak. So, I mean, I think the effort has been made, Anita, in that department. Unfortunately, you know, the positive results are not necessarily reaped from it all the time.
No, and you know what's interesting is that, you know, that strength and conditioning and training and all that, it's constantly changing. It's constantly evolving. And the NFL, you know, I know it stands for not for long, but it's also a copycat league. And so I think a lot of times what teams like to do is, you know, kind of see what are other teams doing and try to implement them. I know that's something that the Giants did. I mean, keep in mind, you know, we called it a spa day this year, right? A spa day where a player could either do yoga.
Had a few different choices, yeah.
Deep tissue massage.
Go in a chamber, I believe, too. That was one of the other options.
Yeah. I mean, listen, even the food plan here changed. So, you know, it's not like the Giants aren't evolving and changing with the times. And again, a lot of times teams are looking and seeing, okay, well this is what this team is doing and they've had success with it. So let's try to implement that for us this year. And the Giants are trying to do that. It's just, it's unfortunate. It's a lot of teams obviously have injury, but for whatever reason, I just feel like each year, at least for the past 2 years, it's the significant players. It's the playmakers.
Oh, yeah.
It's the difference makers mm-hmm. that unfortunately are having the injury. Where maybe, you know, you might have a team that might just have like the same amount of injuries, but not to its playmakers, not to its starters.
You may have lost a backup here or there, but when you lose, you know, two starting defensive ends, defensive tackle, a starting corner, it's hard to be able to then keep up that level of production.
Exactly.
And that's understandable. And I think that's a fair point. If you look over the last few years, I mean, the Giants, the injuries have come to starters. It's not like we're talking about the third string linebacker or, you know, the fourth string corner. And when you lose a player like that, no matter who you are in this league, it's not easy to all of a sudden call the guy up off the bench and expect him to perform at a Pro Bowl level and so forth. I mean, even look at New England this year. I mean, I understand New England overcame those injuries and made it to the postseason and got a bye, but New England, there's a big difference in terms of how that team performed, Anita, down the stretch when the offensive line lost a couple of starters, Deion Lewis, their starting running back, Amendola, Edelman. You know, even a team like New England, which is seems to be the model example of, hey, one guy goes down, next guy comes in, everything stays as is. You know, they even struggled down the stretch of the season as a result of losing an overwhelming amount of playmakers. So it's very difficult to have enough depth to make up for that many losses. And certainly that has been a storyline throughout the course of this season for not just the Giants, but for many teams. Let's head back to the phone lines here. Let's check in with Ed in California. Ed, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, boss? You know what? I mean, if this whole Tom Coughlin deal goes down as expected, I mean, I'm hoping the meeting is to give him a contract extension and not to get rid of him. I mean, I know it's doubtful, but a lot of fans, a lot of media are asking for change over here in California. But this guy's just done a phenomenal job with the amount of talent that he has. There is an article in the Daily News over here that the Giants defense at the end of the season had one player that would start for any other team. That was 32nd in the league, and that one player was BRC. Other than that, all they had was role players starting. And for him to even go 6-10 is just a credit to his coaching. So, I mean, I know it's inevitable. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm also afraid of what might happen coming down the line. You have Eli Manning, basically 35 years old, signed a four-year contract. What if you get the wrong coach? Are you willing to waste those 4 years of Eli Manning's last contract and basically be in a rebuilding mode? Because whoever you get off the town coughing is not guaranteed success. I look at the Niners back when Mariucci left. When Jim Fossil was here, I mean, we've been spoiled these last 12 years with Tom Coughlin. And for ownership to make him the scapegoat is just disheartening. The talent's not there. We've wasted so many second-round draft picks. Beckham and Jernigan and Marvin Austin, I mean, guys aren't even in the league anymore. And for him to take the rap for Jerry Reese's is drafting is just wrong, you know. So,
well, and I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, right now, obviously, it's speculation that you're alluding to. I will say this: you did bring up the offense, and you know, those are some of the things that obviously they're going to have to take into consideration, because the offense has improved from year one to year two under Ben McAdoo. Manning's coming off a career year pretty much across the board in most of the key statistical categories for a quarterback. And you know, even Eli Manning was asked about this in his post game press conference after Sunday's game. You know, do you want to stay in this offense? Do you like this offense? And he didn't even hesitate. I mean, because they realize that most of the key offensive players, the numbers have improved. And, you know, I'm looking at the numbers, Ed. You total offense, you're 12th. Points per game, you're 6th. Passing offense, you're 6th. Okay, the rushing numbers you'd like to see improve, but passing offense, total offense, points per game, you're top 6 in one category, and then you're at least top 10 in another category. I mean, those numbers are something that you can build upon. It's not something that you say, you know, we got major issues that we need to now make huge leaps moving forward. You know, you do want to maybe perhaps bolster the depth chart, but I mean, I think statistically where the Giants finished on offense, there's a lot to like that you can build on moving forward.
Yes, but the Giants are not guaranteed. Whatever coach comes in, I'm hoping Ben McAdoo stays, but normally it's odd when a coach comes in and doesn't make wholesale changes to the roster. So, I mean, I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping, again, they leave the status quo as it is and maybe let him finish out that one-year contract, hopefully get some defensive pieces and make him maybe make a run at it. I mean, I'm looking at the head coaches that are out there, and there's nobody that's better than Tom Coughlin. I just don't see it, but I'm again, like you say, hopefully it's just speculation. They let him run out his contract and see where that goes. But thanks for taking my call. There's not a lot of Giant fans out here in California, so listen to you guys all the time. You guys are doing a great job.
Well, I appreciate that,
Thank
Ed.
You.
Thanks so much.
Let's take a look really quick, briefly. Let's take a look at this offense, right? And you do have some talent in that backfield. Keep in mind, Shane Vereen will be back. You got to like the way that Rashad Jennings ended the season. You know, who knows? Hopefully Andre Williams continues to progress and hopefully gets better. You know, you've got Darkwa, who at times I think really became a fan favorite. A lot of fans, more Darkwa, please. So you do have some talent in that backfield. Who knows? You know, maybe they add more talent, you know, on the offensive line. Obviously, the big key is to getting healthy. I think that they'll address the offensive line in free agency. Who knows? Maybe in the draft again. You know what you get with Odell Beckham Jr. Big question marks in regard to Victor Cruz now. That's probably the biggest question for me on offense. We talked about this coming into the season, right? There's a very small sample size to no sample size in regard to a top-tier wide receiver in the NFL coming back from a tendon tear. We know what happens with ACL, MCL, meniscus, but we did not know, and we didn't know what to expect. Unfortunately, other issues transpired from him, of course, trying to recover and recuperate and try to be active. So we don't know what the future holds for Victor Cruz. I mean, hopefully he will be able to be a part of this wide receiving core next year. Will he be able to stay healthy, and how can he contribute? You know, you and I both talked about Reuben Randall. This was the year that he was going to have to step up. I don't feel that he did that. I think they're going to have to address this wide receiving core. I think we'll see some new talent here as well. I like what we saw from Dwayne Harris. Dwayne Harris was another guy I spoke to in the locker room today. And I said, listen, you never want to see yourself get an opportunity from somebody else getting injured, but pretty much that's what happened. And this team had to rely on Dwayne Harris. And when his number was called, when Eli went to him, he stepped up in a big way. So at least you know special teams got a lot better with him coming here from Dallas. That's a positive. And when needed, you know, I see him being possibly that four, that five in this wide receiving core next season. And you got to be happy, got to be thrilled about that. Another concern is tight end. No disrespect to Will Ty, another guy that I spoke to in the locker room today. He's excited about, you know, growing and developing and playing off of this season into next season. But let's face it, this offense needs a tight end that can block and that dual threat. I know not a lot of teams have it in the NFL, but you want to bring in, whether again it's free agency. I actually took a look at the 2016 tight end free agents. Not really a lot to choose from. Zach Miller from the Chicago Bears, I actually kind of dig him a little bit. No one that really jumps off the page at you in regard to free agent tight ends. Maybe there's a tight end in the draft that they could bring in and develop. But that I feel bettering the wide receiving core and really bringing in a solid tight end that's going to help with pass protection and also be utilized in the passing attack, I think that's going to be a real big key this coming 2016.
Well, considering what they asked Ty to do, I mean, I think that he certainly stepped up to the plate. Larry Donnell's health is going to be a question mark heading into the next season. He's dealing with that neck injury. So, you know, if anything, I think there's room to at least perhaps add some depth and bring in more competition. You know, that's the key. You want guys to compete to see who's going to rise to the top and who's going to emerge as that all-around tight end. The problem this season is just guys went down one after another via injury, so it was really Will Ty was almost the last guy standing, essentially. I mean, even Jerome Cunningham got a bit banged up yesterday. Victor Cruz, as you alluded to, you know, you need to protect yourself with respect to that. The thing with Dwayne Harris, you know, as the season progressed and he was utilized so much as a wide receiver, it took away in terms of special teams. So I think ideally, the Giants would like to get him back to being that reliable player on special teams where you use him on all four teams. He's a big part of the return. And then you use him based on how your wide receiver formation sets play out next season. So that's more of a reason to want to have a little bit more options to toy with in terms of that receiving core, as opposed to utilizing him solely as a wide receiver, and then you take away what he can bring to the table on special teams. And we saw that late in the season.
I'm following our tweets on Twitter, hashtag Giants chat. This is from JC in Arizona. He says, you must not watch Giants games. Ty is a pretty good blocking tight end. I get that. I'm saying you want to bring somebody in that can do both. You know, you want to bring somebody in that's going to be able to really do both. And be above average in both categories. That's my point. And again, I know they're very few and far between. Maybe what, there's seven, right? Seven in the NFL that you can honestly say, like, you know, this is a solid tight end who's no matter what you need from him, he's not coming off the field for one thing or another. You know what I mean? Because you know if he needs to stay home and block, he's going to be solid at that. If he needs to go out and be a part of the receiving core, you know he's going to run great routes and he's going to have great hands. And he's going to reel in anything you throw his way. So, but I know that's a lot to ask for because in this day and age, you know, young men who are willing to play the tight end position, they're thinking Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez and Greg Olsen and Gronk. You know, there a lot of them aren't priding themselves on the importance of staying home and helping with pass protection and honing those skills in regard to being a good blocker as a tight end. You know, all they really want to focus on when they're in college is running better routes and having better hands and better eye-hand coordination. And so, you know,
I think it depends on what's
hard to find. It's a diamond in the rough. It's hard to find.
It depends on what scheme or system you come from in college. For example, Matt Lacoste, you know, towards the latter part of his career, he was asked to block a little bit, and he played the H-back role. So, you know, you come from a system where you're a tight end and you're like a wide receiver. You're right. You're not going to have that much background. But there are tight ends that come from college schemes that they are asked to block just as consistently as they are asked to go out and run routes. All right, let's try to squeeze in a few more calls here before we wrap up the program. We got Len in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Same to you, Len. How's everything?
You know, well, I'm disappointed, like most Giants fans, and it's hard not to be disappointed this morning. Right down to the minute, knowing what's coming. You know, I try to massage the numbers as much as possible. But in the end, I'm just a fan. And the real numbers that I latch on to are post Super Bowl 8-8, 7-9, 6-10, 6-10. You can lay any reasons you want on it. There are a lot of them, but it screams for change somewhere within the organization. It screams for change. Lance, you threw some numbers out there about Kennard. How many games he dressed for and so forth?
Yeah.
Maybe not now, but we probably want to apply the same kind of principles to Prince. All right? 5 seasons, 16 games a season, 80 possible games. I can only guess at this point. I haven't run the stats, but I would guess he didn't dress for 60% of those. He dressed for only 60% of those games.
Well, I'll bring up Prince's numbers here right now while we're on the topic.
Okay.
2011, remember, he gets hurt his rookie year in training camp. He played 7 games that year. He played 13 in 2012. 2013 was the only season he played all 16 games. 14.
Okay, so hang on, Lance. Yeah. Where are we then? We're up to 36?
We're up to 36, correct. Then you tack on 8 more games in 2014, so that's 42. And then he played 11 this year, so 53 games.
53.
Well, actually, you know
80.
What? I take that back. We're off. The math is right in front of me. 55 games.
Okay, so 55 out of 80. I mean, the guy can't stay on the field. I mean, I like the player. I have nothing personal against the player. But, I mean, if you're going to apply that to Kennard, can we pay starting cornerback money to that kind of guy, you know, that kind of injury situation? Especially since you're already paying one of the cornerbacks top dollars. How far can you go on the other cornerback?
Well, Len, real quickly, I'll let you continue. Okay. I mean, listen, what you brought up is a valid point. I mean, you always need to weigh the track record of a player and so forth, but I think the other part of the equation is, while there is risk with any player, especially one that has the track record of getting hurt, you also need to say, if we move on from that player, can we find an option that is going to fill that void and then some? I mean, that's always the thing you got away.
It's a tough situation.
Exactly.
It really is a tough situation. And also consider this. What's the average length of time of a guy in the NFL? A starter in the NFL, it's probably 6 years, maybe 6.5 years. If we started doing arithmetic, we're not going to do it now. I know that, Lance. But so here's Prince at 5. I mean, how many more years does he have? How long would the contract? You know, you get into those kinds of things. I like the player, and I was enthusiastic about the Giants picking him. This sounds like I'm picking on Prince, but, you know, check the interceptions, Lance. Has he got 5 in 5 years?
He's got seven interceptions.
You know, when does he turn the ball over? Two other stats. Real quick, 25 fewer sacks this year than last year.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And I can remember the offseason, Anita, you and I and Paul talking about, well, if Pierre Paul comes back, we get to 50. Even if Pierre Paul doesn't come back, we get to 40. What do we have, 23 or something like that? I don't know, 21? Somewhere in there. But it's 25 fewer sacks than last year. Here's the thing, then, one other stat on the offensive side. I mean, great year by Eli, and the offense really moved along. We got to be pleased with the offense, or see that as a positive, let's say. 2 minutes less. I'm not from the Chip Kelly school. I want to play keep away. I want the ball. I want the ball. I don't want the other team to ever have the ball. So I always look at time of possession. 2 minutes less time of possession. We're plus seven on turnovers. I don't understand where the plays disappear. I mean, if you're making one more first down or maybe two more first downs a game, I know I'm exaggerating with this, but we're probably 11-5.
Well, but Len, here's the thing. With respect to turnover differential, keep in mind, a lot of your takeaways were early in the season. So the consistency of those takeaways did not carry through in the second half of the year, which means, you know, now it's not balancing out and overshadowing and covering up some of those other issues.
Yeah, but if we just split the 2 minutes and go to just one more minute of possession in a game, Lance, we're winning games. I don't understand with this offense why all of a sudden we're way down in time of possession. He had the same number of interceptions, you know, 14, and we're getting the ball more with our turnovers. Even if it is early in the season, we're looking at cumulative stats here.
Well, yeah, I think you are.
I mentioned this a little bit earlier, and I think not really having the success of running the football until the last three games, I think was a big part of that.
I think that's a valid point, Anita. Yeah, I really do. I think that's a valid point.
Lynn, really quick.
Yeah, all right. Let me just say one more thing. Trying to stay positive with this. All right, we got the 10th pick in the draft. Have I got that right?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah.
10th pick in the draft, and we got 6 picks. And to stay positive, our 7th round pick for this year, you know, we traded, and we got the punter, and the punter turned out pretty well. So I want to count Brad Wing as one of our draft choices next year. And, again, trying to keep it positive. It's going to be a long off season, but, hey, we'll turn this around. We'll turn this around.
All right, Len.
And ownership knows what it's doing. It's going to make the right moves in the next couple hours.
All right,
Len.
Happy
New Year, guys.
You got it. Appreciate the phone call. Want to slide in one more caller here before we wrap up. Sean has been waiting. He's in Albany. Sean, what's happening?
What's up, guys? Don't worry, I'm going to let you speak. First of all, from Albany, New York, bringing back to Albany. I felt like we were the good luck charm when they were up here. I've waited for a while. Just want to make a few points. I, as a Giants fan in upstate New York and at all the sports bars and everywhere we go, everybody's talking about Coughlin, and I agree. And I disagree with a lot of your callers that called him from California and wherever else. Coughlin's the oldest coach in the NFL right now, I believe, at 67 years old.
69, but nobody's counting.
Is it?
Yes, 69.
69. Okay. And, you know, I feel like he's lost the team. I hate the fact that we're on a roller coaster this entire season yet again with our numerous running backs. You never know. I mean, I feel as though discipline-wise, this is it as a Giants fan to end the show. I miss thunder and lightning. I miss the excitement at tight end. And I miss a pass rusher. And I mean, and I feel all of us as Giants fans do. If we can't get to the quarterback, they're going to have a ton of pressure on our secondary. When every one of these running backs start every day going, geez, is Darko going to get a goal line carry? Is Andre going to get a goal line carry? Is Rashad our starter today? I feel like we need a coach to come in and say, you're our starter, you're our backup, you're our heavyweight, you're our lightweight. And Brandon Davis is out there as a free agent this season, I believe. He's not that old. I feel like he could bring the luster back in New York if we could grab somebody of that caliber that wants to restart his career, almost as if like Chris Johnson did in Arizona. But so many people are pointing fingers at Blaine, and I really feel like we need some new blood there as in coach, a little younger, because you got to think a lot of these guys are, you know, in their 20s, and they're looking at this guy like a grandpa going, whatever.
Well, I don't mean to cut you off, and I will let you continue because I know you've been waiting a while. I mean, I disagree with you in terms of that you think there's a disconnect between the head coach and the players. And the reason why I don't think age has any factor, I mean, you look at this season, and the results certainly are nothing to brag about, but all but 2 games were extremely competitive, Sean. I mean, you can't forget about that. So clearly, they're going down the wire. They're playing hard for their coach. The Eagles and the Vikings are the only 2 games this season, Sean, where things got out of hand. They were lopsided. You knew early there was no hope. Outside of that, you had
games,
a legitimate shot.
Our first two games of the season, we should have won, and I feel like that was on call.
Well, how? I mean, listen,
I don't want to
Well, no, I don't want to revisit every single game, but the Atlanta game.
Oh, I don't either. I feel like a lot of us up here are rooting. We love and respect Tom Coughlin. I absolutely do, but I feel like we need some new blood in there. My opinion, it'd be nice to have like a Bill Cowher, a hard nose, get in there. Not that Coughlin wasn't. We all know Coughlin's been tough forever and a day, but up here, you know, I just miss, like you said earlier, that tight end. You know, the Giants always went back to Bavaro, a tight end. But I also feel like we need a standout number one running back. Rashad took it at the end of the season and ran with it. But there seems to have been too much confusion throughout the season. I'd love to see a Darkwell heavyweight with a lightweight Rashad. A Thunder and Lightning again. I'd like to see an exciting tight end again. And, of course, if Victor Cruz comes back, we're not going to have everybody huddling up on Odell, triple team, double team. We're going to have two threats. But it's just a disaster right now for all of us. And in the draft, I mean, I love the way our offensive line produced this year. Last year at this time, we're all talking about our offensive line draft. It's nothing exciting in the draft, but we needed it desperately. But we do need a pass rusher. We do need a solo running back instead of a committee where we can go to and every game day goes, I'm the man and you're my backup. And you know what I mean? And that tight end is desperate. I feel like we really need the tight end to open up the middle of the field to take the pressure off Odell. And if we get Victor Cruz back with a decent tight end, and like I said, if Vernon Davis is out there, I'm just shooting it. You know, you've seen careers start over like Chris Johnson in Arizona. It'd be nice to have a flashy tight end, cocky like a Shockey. We need that.
Well,
back,
Sean,
guys.
I mean, I understand your point about needing to open up the field. I don't know if you necessarily need a household name and a flashy guy. Remember, you won a Super Bowl with Jake Ballard, and Jake Ballard was not
absolutely
a household name. So, you know, we have to put things in perspective. You want a playmaker. You want a consistent guy, I understand
yes.
your point, that will always be a threat in the middle of the field. That I get, but
Vernon,
that could
Vernon
come in
Davis
the form.
Is not, Vernon Davis is not that answer.
Well, I mean, Vernon Davis
well,
has
not.
Even struggled a little.
I'm just looking for something that was out there on free agent. Like you said, I do like Miller, like you said, in Chicago. But I feel like we really do need one. Ty was exciting when he would get the ball. I was like, yes, finally we got a tight end. But, I mean, I just feel like all we have right now is Beckham. You know what I mean? And we got a bunch of other players. I just feel like everybody needs to know their role now, regroup, get it together, and say, you're the man, you're the man, and you're the man. Injuries affected that tremendously this year. I'm not hating on Coughlin. It's just, as a fan, I feel like we need a new kick in the butt. We're New York, guys. You know, we want to have that flash. We want to have that power again. You know, right now we're just a so-so team, and we get our balls busted like crazy up here in upstate New York by other fans from other teams. I mean, especially when the Jets outplay us, you know what I mean? It's just nonstop. But I just miss a little attitude. I want a little attitude back. A nickname again, a Thunder and Lightning. You know what I mean?
All right, Sean. Listen, appreciate the phone call.
First time caller, thank you so much.
You got it, Sean. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Sean said a lot. And a few things that I do disagree with. Listen, you know, I respect fans' opinions when they call in and they're saying that they want to see change. But, you know, you want to see change because maybe you just want a different feel, a different vibe from your head coach. That's one thing. Understand something. Tom Coughlin has not lost his locker room. I mean, you have Eli Manning shedding tears today for head coach Tom Coughlin. That's not a man who loses a locker room. So keep that in mind, number one. Number two, I'm with you. I'd love to see a tight end add to this mix. Vernon Davis isn't the answer. Sorry. He's just not. So, you know, but like I said, when we started the show, Giants fans should be very optimistic in regard to 2016. They have the number 10 pick. They've got a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. They have one of the best players in the NFL in Odell Beckham Jr., and they're going to have a lot of money under the salary cap to be big-time players in free agency. So, listen, this team could be in a much worse situation, and they're not. So there's a lot of optimism, and it should be an interesting offseason.
Absolutely. We want to remind fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live was brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. So that is going to wrap up things for us here on Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Stay locked to Giants.com for player interviews as well as any press conferences that may come about in the next coming days. The Giants website will certainly have the latest intel on that front. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll be back on Big Blue Kickoff Live at noon on Tuesday. Have a good one.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
He's got through. 35, 30.